So thank you for coming. Take care of your body, mind and soul. And since you signed up for it and you chose to come here, and I'm seeing a few people who haven't come earlier. So I first want to ask you the question, what brings you here today? Why are you here? You feel like your husband needs to take care of you better? Okay. What brings you here today?
I think it's with the husband. I want to take care of myself. I think I'm all.
She's experienced. She's given up.
Yeah, I'm always thinking of other stuff.
Yeah.
I have to be sane, right, to take care of the family.
Yes, that's a good one. What brings you here so that Ramesh Prabhu can take better care of you?
I want to know about myself and everything, what I have to do with perfect energy.
Oh, so you want to understand how you can take better care of yourself?
Yeah.
Okay, good. And Sudha is here.
But most of the times my mind wants to do something, my body doesn't, is not ready. And many times vice versa. I want them to go along together. So.
It's like one time I had guests at home, my sister-in-law was at home, and I don't know why she was very tired, and she said, I really, you know, my soul wants to help you, but my body is not alive.
I find myself in the situation most of the time, so, yeah. So they need to work better, so I'm here to learn more.
Good. What about you?
Maharaj, honestly speaking, I really wanted to attend all your sessions, but somehow the time is there.
I know, it's time for him to sleep at this time.
Yeah, there's one day when we don't have any other classes.
So yeah, and Dinesh was work free and he was free. Maybe so. I just grabbed the opportunity. And it's also an interesting topic. So wait and see.
Haribol. What brings you here?
I'm sharing with my mind. So I want to know how to take care of my
mind. Okay. And how about Radhika? What brings you here today?
Very well.
Oh, come on. Yeah, I need everyone's association. The more I do this, the more I learn how to take care of myself. It's not that I've mastered any of the things I've been sharing all this time. I'm learning and I make a lot of mistakes. So it's nice to share my mistakes also, because next time then I don't do those mistakes again. You know, somehow it's very powerful when you share what you did, then next time I just feel protected from doing it. Anyway, so we are here to learn how to take care of ourselves, and there are 7 basic needs, and we're going to go a little fast because this is a 2-session thing combined into one, because you'll be very busy scrubbing your children from Holy Colors next weekend. So I decided to just have one session, and then the session after this one is going to be, we're going to have a series over a few weeks on demons in Vrindavan and how each of the demons symbolizes something in our heart and how we need to work upon that and how Krishna was taking care of the demons, and if we don't take care of our demons, then how Krishna takes care of them. So we're going to cover all of that so that you have enough time to scrub next week. We are doing a lot of things today. So there are 7 basic needs that are identified. Some people say there are 5, and we're going to go really fast with all of these things. And you will get these slides as PDF and uploaded at the location, and you will get all the email and everything from me. So there's a need for autonomy. Autonomy is to have freedom of choice, space, you know, do what I want to do, follow my heart, not be restricted. That's why I hated school. There was no autonomy. I left college because there was full autonomy. But school had no autonomy and I never liked it. Anyway, I wasn't a very good student. And play, you know, we all want to have fun. We want to have laughter. We want to enjoy. We want to do different things that give us joy. Just, you know, dance in kirtan. We should dance for the Lord. I'm not at that level. I dance for myself, and you know, it gives me joy to dance with the devotees together. Need for celebration. Celebrate the good, celebrate happy moments. And sometimes we feel, oh, what is this? There's a party for everything. But then we actually need those things. We want to get our people together and celebrate the good things that have come. And that's why all these festivals and things are there in our culture. And, you know, all, and you will see how in our, in Krishna consciousness or in the path of, like we're all practicing the path of bhakti, you know, your needs are taken care of properly. And then there's a need for interdependence. We want to have loving relationships with each other. We want to give love. We want to receive love. We want to give appreciation, receive appreciation. Give friendship, receive friendship. Care, receive care. We want to have that interdependence, that feeling of connection with each other, right? And integrity. We all want to feel authentic to our purpose in life. And we all want to have a purpose in life and be authentic. So we live a life according to that purpose. And when that need of integrity is not met, we get very disturbed also, right? And also we want to be able to share what we're feeling with other people, share how vulnerable we're feeling, or share how we're not feeling good, or how we were not, integral to our purpose in a particular moment. We have the need to share that also with other people. As much as we want to seem like perfect human beings, we have that need to also share our struggles with other people. So that integrity is very important, and that spirituality is also a very, very important need for all of us to reestablish that loving connection with God, to understand who I am, who God is, what is my relationship with Him, and also physical needs. Of course, I just put sleep there because all of us like to compromise on our sleep. But you all have a lot of physical needs. So now there are needs, and then there are strategies to meet needs. So everyone has these seven basic needs. What differs is how they satisfy these needs. And the needs themselves are not good and bad, and I'll keep saying that again and again. It's just how we manage them, the strategies might be good or bad. So you can't judge the needs, you can judge the strategies. So if you think about anybody whom you saw that they were trying to do something that you didn't approve of or the society didn't approve of, it's basically they're trying to satisfy one of these seven basic needs, but maybe their strategy is not the best one. And the person, as we evolve, as we grow, our strategies become such that it doesn't impact other people also in a negative way. Like we learn how to satisfy our needs according to the principles we want to follow. And also so that it doesn't impact others in a difficult way. Because once we understand our needs, we also understand that other people have needs. Right? So when you're able to understand, I have these needs, and you're able to not say that, oh, how the hell can I have this need to have fun, and I should rather be reading Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita right now. Why am I in this party? Or why am I skiing right now in Snoqualmie? Or why am I in Hawaii? Like a lot of people are going to Hawaii right now. Right? You know, someone may condemn them why they're going. But you will be able to understand that need once you recognize you also have that need. Then you won't condemn another person. Right? And a lot of times, a lot of problems happen because these needs are not met. Right? Either because of our own selves or our own upbringing or our own understanding of what is right and wrong. And also the cooperation we receive from other people. Sometimes we're dependent on other people too. Like children are so dependent on all of you to take them to wild ways where you guys don't satisfy their needs. Anyway, joking. You get the point? There's a dependence on other people to satisfy those needs. So, I just said this thing. Whatever we feel, act, or desire is based on whether these needs are fulfilled or not. The need themselves are not good or bad, is the strategies. Like Hiranyakashipu, what need did he have? Out of these seven needs, you all know Hiranyakashipu. What need did Hiranyakashipu have? So he had this great need for autonomy, right? That's a valid human need. So what was wrong with that, with him? The need was valid, but his strategy to satisfy that was not valid. Because he didn't understand, just like he has a need to be autonomous, other people also have the need to be autonomous. He didn't recognize that other people also had the need to be autonomous. So that's one thing. And y'all can sit on the chairs also. And so he didn't recognize other people have a need for autonomous. And then he was not realistic in his need. He didn't know that he can't be autonomous. He had to be realistic in how he was trying to satisfy our needs. So we're just on the second slide. And we're talking about the seven basic needs that every person has. And these are the needs of autonomy, play, celebration, interdependence, integrity, spirituality, and physical needs. And these needs are not good and bad. They are basic needs for everyone. It's just the strategies that we employ that can be questioned, either in ourselves or in other people. But we can't deny ourselves of those needs, and we can't deny other people of those needs. Alright. So, Hiranyakashipu. So, the need was not wrong, but he could have satisfied it in a better way. And we will discuss that later on. We have material on that. So we don't deny yourself your feelings. So the feelings that come are based on whether your needs are satisfied or not satisfied. So when any of those needs are not satisfied, you develop certain feelings. You feel in a certain way, right? And when they are satisfied, you feel in a certain way. And, you know, there's a big table of, you know, which need corresponds to which feeling, and I'm not going into all of that. You can, I can share that as resources later on. So we don't deny ourselves our feeling. Because if we, you know, so some people may deny themselves, and most of us do deny ourselves our feelings. Then, you know, if someone is more introverted personality, then it'll all go inside and it'll come out as sickness in the body, like physical diseases. And some people who are not so introverted and people who are like very expressive and, you know, controlling and things like that will come out outside as aggression. Right? So basically you feel out of control, so it comes out as aggression, or you feel out of control, you just become depressed and you sit in a corner. That's how it works. And both of them are not good strategies, again, to manage your feelings. So instead, we have to learn how to practice self-empathy. We did an entire 3-session course on this, Take Charge of Your Emotions. And we can repeat it sometime, but for the sake of this, I'm just mentioning, we learn how to practice self-empathy, learn how to connect with our own feelings. So if a certain need is not satisfied, I can give this as an example. So say if I am, at somebody's home, and it's 10:30 in the night. I had this experience in India. And they had put the clothes in the washer. And they forgot to turn the washer on. And then they turned the washer on at 10:30 in the night. And I was so tired. Like so tired. And then they turned the washer on. And it was making a lot of noise. Like they wanted to turn the washer on. They didn't turn it on. And so then I requested them that, you know, I'm really tired right now. And, you know, I really need to sleep because I've just come back and, you know, I'm like all jet lagged and messed up. So I'll really appreciate if we can turn the washer on the next day, because I do that sometimes. If I forget, I don't turn it on in the night because of noise, I can't sleep. So they have that need that the clothes need to be washed right now because they've already been soaked, and if you let them keep soaking the next day, then they'll get spoiled. Fine, I respect your need, but I have this need also. That, you know, I'm really tired and I really need to sleep, and this washer is going to make a lot of noise, you know. So then I also asked that, is there another place I can sleep where, you know, I won't get that noise? And so I got to know for that. I got to know for this. And the only thing I could do at that time was I could just make a request. I can't force the other person, you know, to accept. I could just say, you know, hey, I really need to sleep. But if they don't get it, they don't get it. Now, if I deny myself, or rather, so then after that, I was more like, I was really annoyed, angry. But you can't say that when you're at somebody's home. And I was just, you know, then I was like, oh, I'm feeling really angry right now. And I'm like, no, I'm not supposed to be angry. I'm a guest. And, you know, I have to be like, you know, however they want me to be. No, I wasn't denying my feelings because I've gone through this process a lot of times in my life. I try to practice this thing. So, oh, I'm feeling really angry right now. And why am I angry? Because I really need to sleep. My body's really tired. You know, so it was more like my experience, just catering to my feelings. So usually I'm a person who can blast out on the other person and say, like, hey, what nonsense is going on? Why are you not, you know, why don't you get it? I need to sleep. Why, you know, why you? You know, but because I've been doing this process, I understand, okay, I have this need based on which I am doing a certain action. This person has that need. That's why they're bent on doing that certain action. So I was able to resolve the situation more compassionately. Then I figured I asked them for earplugs. You know, then I could be creative. If I was angry, then I can't be creative. And then I slept peacefully, and my body was so tired, I just, luckily I fell asleep. But I wasn't denying myself that need, that no, I'm supposed to be a good guest, or I'm supposed to be, you know, how dare I think like that, you know, they're senior to me, you know, they're older than me, and I need to be more respectful. You know, usually what happens is in our culture, we may not even be able to express, but because I'm learning this thing, I was able to express my need in a respectful way. Otherwise, even the thought would be like, what nonsense, it's time to sleep, why, they don't get it. That's how, you know, you don't even express, but that's how the brain functions, and then what comes out is AK-47. Yeah, so it's important to practice what you're feeling, and you know, oh, I'm feeling like this because I have this need to sleep, and I'm tired, and it's not wrong to be feeling the need to sleep, it's a physical need. So when you learn how to practice that self-empathy, it learns how to, you know, your feelings settle well, and they don't manifest as diseases and other things, right? So I'm feeling horrible, I'm feeling so insulted, and why am I feeling like that? Because I have a need for self, you know, being respected, which is not a wrong need. You have a need to be respected by people, right? So usually what happens is like, oh, I should not be angry. Next time, I won't be angry on this person without resolving all that you had gone through. And then what happens? Next time the same situation happens. That's for the Lord. Next time the same situation happens, for the Lord, for the Lord, for the Lord. And then the fourth time it happens, you go like, boom, you always do that to me. Yeah, we all do that. It happens. So we had an entire session on that, take charge of your emotions, and y'all can see the slides on, you go to Sakhi Sangha Facebook page. Under resources, all the slides are uploaded over there, so you can see that. So we don't deny ourselves. The point I want you to know is don't deny yourself your feeling. Learn how to have that empathy for yourself. Okay? We acknowledge, I have these needs. A lot of times you'll see a lot of people, they don't even acknowledge they have those needs. Either to be successful in something or to, you know, some, like you'll see a lot of people, like the latest I heard in India was that, I just came back, so I'm hearing a lot of things there. That women have stopped, even some women who are very career-oriented, they've even stopped getting pregnant. They just hire a surrogate mother. There's nothing wrong with their bodies, but they just hire a surrogate mother because they don't want to go through that whole process. You know, in a sense, to achieve something, they're denying themselves one of the, you know, those seven basic things of having that relationship, that motherly love and affection like that. So people do such things, either to achieve something for themselves or just culturally because we haven't been taught all these things. So we have this connection between the body, mind and the soul. That's another thing I want you all to get it as we go further. So, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. So we have body, mind and soul, and there is a connection between the three. As we discussed, you internalize your feelings, they come out as diseased conditions in your body, right? Or if your body is not doing well, if you're physically not strong, what happens? You lose self-confidence, right? It affects you mentally. Yeah? If you're not looking very beautiful in some event, you're supposed to look beautiful. Does it affect your self-esteem? So the physicality affects your mind, the mind affects your physicality. Things happen. That's a very simple level, but I'm talking about other things also, like diseases, chakras. The chakras are not aligned properly if you internalize a lot of things. You know, diseases happen, a lot of diseases happen because of how we think. A lot of them happen because of how we think. And we'll get to that here. So, imbalance in one creates imbalance in the other. We all know that, I don't need to say it again, but I'm just saying it again, so that we get it. And we know it here, but we want to get it here so that we can change the way we practice our life. Right? Chakras, energy flow, cellular memory. Like a lot of times yoga, Reiki, it's all about balancing your chakras. Right? So people who are, and like, you know, even auras, their auras also, you know, one of my aunts is an aura reader, and by seeing the aura of a person, she can know if the person is healthy, sick, what kind of thoughts they have and everything. So, because of your mental state, your physical state is affected. And chakras can go out of balance, then the prana, the life air does not flow properly. And then what happens? You fall sick. And then you go to an allopathic doctor, and they do all your tests, and they're like, no, everything is okay. You know, all the reports look good, but then you're still having those problems in your body. Right? So people don't get it, but it happens because of your thought process. All these things hit you. And then also like these emotions that you don't take care of, these feelings that, or the needs that you deny, and because of which the feelings that come that you don't take care of them, they also go into a cellular memory, because there's such a big connection between your mind and your body. So how your mind is responding, then your body kind of learns how to shut down or stop breathing or do some of those things. So next time, every time that happens, your body responds like that. And then next time when the slightest of that thing happens, it immediately gives you a big response. So many times you've seen in the movies, some big shock and the person gets a heart attack. We've seen that. And it's true. It's not just in the movies. It's true. It happens like that. Alright? So now also these traditional medical systems, they take into account everything. Right? Allopathy just takes into account your physical condition. Like, you know, just the tests they do and everything like that. Right? They just take care of that. But the traditional medicine systems, even if you go into Chinese medicine or Indian medicine or Yunani medicine, or homeopathy, or any of these traditional medicinal systems, if you go to an Ayurvedic doctor, they're not just asking you how your body is feeling and just checking your pulse and doing okay. They're asking you, what is your life like, you know, what kind of thoughts do you have? I mean, the kind of questionnaire they have, they are able to get a full mental makeup of what kind of personality you have, and also what kind of physical you have, so they're able to connect both. Like, I know one doctor told me something I went for some ailment, and then he told me something that, you're thinking like that, if you stop thinking like that, this will solve your problem. He said that to me. I was like, how do you know? He's like, your body's telling me that. So, and then the pulse that they check is also different for people who are very stressed. You know, that there are different types of pulses. I was reading about that. I mean, I'm not an expert, but I was just reading about that. So, the people, just by the pulse, they can tell your nature. Because the way your heart beats, the way the blood flows through your body. You know, some people who are in stress, you can see, you know, you can feel it yourself. Your neck muscles get tightened up. You start breathing, you know. So, all that gets into your cells, also gets into how your body functions, how the blood flows, how the oxygen flows, and all of those things happen. And wellness is important. So we focus on our spiritual lives also. It's important, right? So now Gajendra, we also did this whole seminar on God is my anchor, and we talked about Gajendra Moksha. You all have heard about Gajendra Moksha? So Gajendra was this elephant, and he was having fun in the water. He was a huge, like, big king, and he had a lot of followers. And he was enjoying in the water, like, you know how we go to a resort and we enjoy with our children and in a beautiful place. So he was enjoying like that. A very, very opulent place where the peaks were made of gold, silver, and bronze, and minerals, and jewels, and the aroma was of all the honey of the flowers, and then the such beautiful flowers that you've not seen, such beautiful birds chirping you've never heard, like a beautiful place, like you can't imagine such a place. So he was enjoying like that, and then the crocodile came and caught his leg. And then the crocodile and Gajendra fought for 1,000 celestial years. One celestial year is 6 months of our time.
One day
is 6 months of our time here. So 1,000 such celestial years. So one celestial day is 6 months of our time here. That's why we request the devtas to get up so that the wedding season, you have the Dev Uthavna Ekadashi, Dev Uthni Gyaras. That's when you wake up the demigods so that they can give the blessings for the wedding season. So they were fighting like that. So there's this one verse, very beautiful verse in Srimad Bhagavatam. So the story is in Srimad Bhagavatam. And that verse says that because Gajendra was an animal of the land, he was losing all his mental and physical strength in the water. But the crocodile, being an animal of the water, was very nourished and very strong because that was natural for him. So Gajendra was in an unnatural condition. So therefore he was losing his mental strength also. Right? But crocodile was in a natural position, so he was becoming very strong and he was winning. So it's a lesson for us. So Gajendra's psychophysical balance was affected because of the situation. So that's a lesson for us also, that we need to be in of something which is a natural condition for us. Now, natural condition for me will be very different from the natural condition for her and for her and for her. Right? We all are different in how we are this thing. So one thing we have to stop doing is
copying,
comparing, putting pressure. Everyone's situation is different. Everyone's family situation is different. Family's dynamic is different. And then your personal nature is different. Your likes and dislikes are different. What is comfortable for you and uncomfortable for you is always different. Like, I remember when I was a kid, and even now it happens to me, but I don't fall sick. But if I went to a very crowded place, I would fall sick. Like, I would just fall sick. So, you know, but some people, like, in a very crowded place, like, wow, this is so much fun. You know, so it affects every one of us differently. It's very important to know what works for you, right? And I like, what I like about this country is like, this is what works for me. In Hindi, I was like, you better make this work for yourself. But it's, you know, I learned this thing. Oh, you know, I can have a different personality and a different body type that works or not. So it's very important to be in that natural condition of life. And another thing, an example. So I'm giving you all these facts so that we can get to the real thing. This is not a real thing. So Gajendra in the water, and then another is this lady, Louise Hay. So this lady, I think she had a lot of diseases, a lot of different problems, and she went to a lot of doctors, and she didn't get a solution for a lot of the problems. And then she decided to start healing herself. And what she figured is that because of the way her mindset is, her body is responding in a certain way. And because of, then the more and more she worked on her mindset, the more and more those ailments started leaving her body. So she did so much research on that particular topic that finally she came up with a book with every disease having a connection with a certain way of how you're thinking. And this is not just a simple cough and cold and losing hair and things that we know are cause of stress, but even things like, you know, people get white patches on their body. that is also connected to a certain way of thinking. Cancer is also connected to a certain way of thinking. Cancer, we know, is a lot of unresolved emotions that are there, that are causing that anger, that unresolved anger, and a lot of unresolved emotions, sadness and everything. So it's very important to be have that self-empathy. But she also came up with blood cancer is because of this, and then stomach cancer is because of this, you know, cancer in the cervix is because of this, and, you know, so many things she came up with. It's a very, I think that book is available on Amazon. You can read it if you want, or you can read about it if you want. I don't have the name of the book with me. But she came up with this body-mind connection. And I'm hammering this here is because we have to learn how the physical body is affecting the mind, how the mind is affecting the physical body, how the physical body and the mind are not in tandem, they're not working properly, they affect your spiritual life and your spiritual well-being. And if you're not taking care of your spiritual health, then how it affects your mind and body. That is actually the biggest one, which we don't know because we're not practicing that much, or, you know, we're new to this whole practice of spiritual life, but actually that is the major basis of a lot of ailments that we have, right? So now getting down to business, let's just talk about, we're all women, and I feel inspired to offer these courses for women because I feel we have special needs while following our spiritual lives. And they need to be addressed, and they need to be addressed in a group. So let's just talk about for some time. What are the different roles you play and tasks you perform? Have you ever come up with a list?
Sort of. In other workshops.
Okay. Yeah, but that is again to organize yourself better and do better. And no, I'm talking about, have you come up with a list in a more self-compassionate way? Okay, so let's come up with that list now. So let's talk.
In India.
No, or it's either no self-pity, or it's like, I'm an achiever, okay, I'm going to make a list of all these roles that I do so that I know how I can optimize this so that I can do more. Yeah? It usually comes out like this. And so I'm not here to do that. I love all of you, and you all love me and love each other, so we're going to have some compassion for ourselves. So what are the different things we do as women? Let's just talk about it for some time. Oh, she I had that experience too. So cooking is one of them. When I got married and I came here, and then I was like, okay, I cooked, and I was happy, and my husband said, wow, this is so nice. And then I cooked the next day, and then I cooked the third day, and the fourth day, and the fifth day. There were bachelor friends in the house who just had a big appetite. And then the sixth day they came again, and the seventh day they were there again, and then they didn't come, and then I was cooking, and then one day I was thinking, this is not going to stop. This is not going to stop. Like, if I don't cook, I don't eat here. There is no way. And I was like, what did I sign up for? Marriage is not just about fancy clothes. This is reality.
The last from the list. Huh? Fancy clothes is last from the list.
Yeah, we bought so many of them when we got married, and we don't have time to wear them. Yeah, and I was like, I cook in the morning and in the afternoon at night, and then I keep, and then I cook again, and cook, and what's going on? This is not going to end. And I was so frustrated that day when it hit me that I'm supposed to cook all. Okay, so we cook, and then what do we do after cooking? Clean. We clean. And then what else do we do related to cooking?
Buying
grocery. And then we manage the leftovers. And then we get to hear, why did you cook so much?
Planning what to cook for the day.
Oh my God,
that's so tiring. Even plan the whole week for the groceries. Like, if you often go to shopping, they again complain, why didn't you tell me this before?
Okay, planning.
Planning was
demanding. Everybody wants different food.
I know. Okay. So make everyone happy and make it healthy.
Yeah.
Okay. And then what else do you do?
Taking care of children.
Okay, that's like another menu drop down. Taking care of children. What all comes in that?
Physically, mentally, emotional issues.
Spending time with them.
Keeping them busy. Arranging play dates.
Activities, arranging play dates.
Protecting them from.
Protecting your house from them.
What was that?
She said protecting them, and I said okay, protecting your house from them also.
That's my major issue.
Then what else do you do? Teaching them.
Feeding them.
Homework. Projects.
Reading to them.
Classes. Driving. Yeah. What else? Character building.
Yeah.
That's a big one. All the time pressure. Disciplining. Diaper change. Okay, diaper change. Anything from this side. What else do you do for your kids?
Tender.
Me and mommy.
Me home.
They say that so easily here, right?
Yeah.
What else do you do? Plan for them. Future planning. Save money for their education. The height was, when I say that to everyone here. I used to work, and then one fine day I quit my job, and one person came up to me and said, "What about your children's university education?" I said, "They're laughing because I don't have children."
No.
I don't have children, and someone's like, "No, but what about your children?" I said, "Let me have them first." Yeah, so that's another big thing for all of us to plan for them, have the funds.
Even before kids, I just broke the news that I can say, "Oh, you should think of the get plan, you know, the adoption state, and then okay."
Yeah, health issues. Teaching them how to eat well, teaching them how to take care of themselves, teaching them how to, when is something should be washed and when it's not supposed to be washed, so that the laundry load on you goes down.
Teaching them what is right, what is wrong.
Cleaning after them. Marriage, she's already worried. That's our daughter there.
Independent, responsible.
Yeah, I'm teaching them how to be independent and responsible so that your daughter-in-law doesn't tell you that why did you not make your son.
Future.
Future.
She won't struggle as
teaching them how to manage the emotions, teaching them how to manage bullies so that just like you got bullied, nobody else bullied. Okay, yeah. All of that, okay, that's a lot on parenting, huh? What else do you do? You just cook and do parenting?
Work.
Yeah, you go to work. And then what do you do at work?
Go to work.
What do you do at work? You have meetings, you have conference calls, you have pleasing the boss, then you have working with team members, then you have your own tasks which don't happen in between of all of this stuff. Like sometimes you feel like, why do you have these meetings to be efficient? But I'm not efficient because I go for meetings. You have that, then you manage your performance. Performance expectations, media career reviews, compete with bachelors. That was a big one for me.
Yeah.
I had bachelors and bachelors and bachelors in my team, and I was like, I told my manager, you know, I can never compete with it. It's beyond me. They have nothing to do. They get bored. They keep coming to work. And I need to get out because I have to go.
They stay there for the whole of the day, you know, and you can't compete with them because you can't stay that long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So even I have the same issue. So I have also told them, like, I can't compete with them. So let them, you know, grow their career. I'm fine there.
Till your manager is fine where you are.
Yeah.
Until they give you the boot. So you need to keep your job also, right? But worry is constantly there to keep your job. Sometimes I know I used to be so busy, I wouldn't have time to check even with whether the paycheck came to the bank or not. But I would do that once in 6 months sometimes. And then I would think, why am I working? Oh, I get the paycheck. Okay, so why didn't I check about the paycheck? That means I don't like to work. Okay, what else do you do at work? If that lady wants to come in, you can invite her. There was somebody at the door. Yeah, what else do you do at work? Deadlines? People in software, you all have releases? Tough ones?
Production on call.
Offshore. Training?
Yeah.
Waste of time training. You have to take so many trainings. Yeah? So you have all of those things. What else do you do apart from working, taking care of children and cooking?
I need arts. I have that.
Very strong. Yeah, take care of our likes and interests.
Okay, taking care. Oh, you guys are a healthy group.
Taking care
of your likes and dislikes.
Not taking care even of my exercise.
Do you not feel the pressure about relationships, maintaining so many relationships?
Yes.
I felt that pressure in India, like, too much. Like, too much.
Even like worrying about, like, life, right? Not like, I mean, oh, okay, now we got a home. Now we are going to do this. We're going to do this. Kind of worries will also be there.
So, right? Just general household stuff. This broke. This needs to be fixed. This furniture needs to be bought. This furniture needs to be protected. And then this bathroom needs to be cleaned. And the kitchen needs to be cleaned. And I need boxes. I need boxes to keep stuff organizing. And it's never organized. And I need more hangers, and then I need to teach the whole family how to organize, do all of that.
Yeah.
Right? Then what about your spouse, your husband?
Managing. Yeah, taking care of them as well.
Yeah, people who are living with you.
Teaching them.
And some people. Teaching them. Yeah, and if you're not living with your family, you have roommates to deal with. Yeah, you have a roommate.
Yeah.
You gotta deal with your roommate. So even husband, right? I read somewhere. I was reading some notes, and somebody said they had put down the list. Mahatma Prabhu did the workshop for that. He did the workshop on marriage recently, and then there was some document I was supposed to type out and give it to him. On some men had written down on what they want from their wife, and the women had written on what they want for their husband. So I was typing the bank's list, and I was reading over there, and it said, cook good food.
Hey, that's so much better.
Bravo,
did you not get good prasad?
Yeah, cook good prasad. You know, like, they have that name. Yeah, so you cook, take care of their needs, and then we also become a support system for the people we live with, the adults we live with, whether it's our spouse, our roommate, or friends, whoever we live with, or family members. We got to support them from time to time, keep them encouraged, help them in their downtime, or help them when they are disturbed, or celebrate with them when they have the need to celebrate.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to do that. You have to be like, hey man, stop. We got to do it because, you know, we want to be with each other. What else do you do?
Paperwork. That's why
Yeah, paperwork. And, I mean,
getting
yearly
bills,
but still
bills,
right?
Bills, paperwork.
Bills, paying bills.
School paperwork, children's paperwork. I heard all teachers email the parents about this different stuff and you got to keep up on track.
No, school projects.
School projects, so all the paperwork you do. What else do you do?
I cannot survive. I can't live without that.
Good, you're taking care of yourself. That's a good sign. Well, you also come, we all have an active spiritual life. We chant, we meditate. And sometimes the meditator is supposed to calm us, meditation is supposed to calm us down, but sometimes we freak out because we didn't do our meditation on time.
Like,
yeah, so I'm not in that state. I will freak out after some time if I don't do my commitment. And then reading, attending lectures, desire to do services, desire to read spiritual books, desire to follow, make spiritual resolutions. Have the time to sit down and think about your spiritual resolution.
Hard to take out.
Yeah, it's time.
To contemplate.
Time to monitor whether I'm doing well or not in something. Yeah? Well, so I just... I like how she's holding the baby in one hand, this one, and the cooking stuff and the grocery bag. I can't see Andy.
Can you?
Oh, okay, you can switch places. Yeah? Look at this lady there. It's interesting how, you know, these are from different cultures and they all have shown the woman with multiple hands. Right? So there was this man who drew this sketch. For Women's Day for his wife. So he really respected all that she was doing, and then, you know, people who have pets, you gotta take care of your pets also. Lot of things going on. And then,
Taking care of sick mother-in-law.
Yeah, see, they're taking care of their sick parents and, you know, other family members, animals, and then the society. You know, there's one thing I felt a lot of pressure was about social stuff.
I'm meeting expectations, Masati. They have all this, like, wife means they already come up with these expectations, right? She should be able to do this, do that, do this. Like, meeting those expectations is like...
That's right. I figured in 10 days I have to meet the expectation of cooking for the rest of my life. I developed a new respect for my mom who did it without a grudge. Day in and day out.
It's 18th, 2004. Even I'll forget my marriage day, but I'll not forget that day because that day I started cooking. 18th, 2004 dinner time. That's when it started. Okay. Then it kept going on.
As the time goes by, you have to cook more. Because kids growing,
they get
better.
Right?
And get better with
cooking. Yeah, and you have to be creative. I mean, they get bored easily. Yeah. Like, this is when we are doing. And then poha. Like, every week poha. Okay, like something new.
Variety. A lot going on. And then I also put something down on relationships that we got to maintain. I felt that pressure. Here, I don't feel it so much, but when I went to India, I was just thinking, one day I was thinking, you know, why am I feeling so pressured here? And I was trying to be self-compassion and empathy and all of that when I was in the bed. And I was thinking, I got to maintain the relationships that my parents have with the people. Not just the family, but even the friend, parents, friend, neighbors and all. And they also love us a lot because they saw us growing up. So we want to reciprocate with them. So that's one thing. Second thing is a relationship on the in-laws side.
Yeah.
Right? Got to maintain all those relationships because, you know, we live in a society. Then your own friend circle. Right?
Yeah.
Then I was thinking, then I had to do a lot of bank work and this work and that work. So all that particular task, paperwork. And then, you know, because I know a lot of devotees over there, so I was invited for this program and that program. So then there was, you know, all those relationships. And in a day, I figured I was meeting, I don't know how many people and how many relationships and how many gifts I was giving and how many gifts I was getting back. And I just like started feeling the pressure. I said, I can't, like one person in such a short time, I can't manage so much. It was tough for me, like I could feel it. So I put that down also on the list. So I came up with a list. Have you ever done this exercise? You've never done this exercise. So it's at least important to know the kind of stuff you are dealing with on a day-to-day basis. Right? It's a daily basis. Like one of my sister-in-laws, like her husband took a 3-month break from work, voluntary. They live in London. So then after 3 months, like, and he's a very nice devotee and he's very elevated spiritually. So we were asking, okay, what was it after 3 months? We thought he would be reading a lot, chanting a lot and doing a lot of things. He said, my realization is my wife does a lot of work in the house. And I need to help her a little bit more than what I'm doing. He said, they are not just cooking and just standing on the stove and doing things. He said, because when I'm at home, I see her do that. But the whole day she's doing much, much more work than I'm doing and I need to be more helpful. So he developed that.
One thing, Mataji, the more it affects us is like doing is one thing. I'm facing those comments, remarks on after we do stuff. That is like a big weight. I mean, like, doing you can do it. Like,
yes.
I mean, like, you are physically strong, you do it. But like,
so, correct. Like, so I just came up with some of the things, and a lot more came out in this meeting. So we already discussed this. So as a mother, you do teaching, take care of the nutrition, health, academic, extra-academic, spiritual growth, drive, dress, deal with tantrums. I think I made a pretty good list there. Homemaker, cook, clean, guest, grocery, manage schedules, laundry, pots and pans, organize, make processes. Like when you gotta make systems for everything also in the house when you're busy. And the system breaks, you break. Right, when you have to train everyone in the house to follow that system. Right? Put the whites here and put the colored. And you keep training. Yeah, you make processes so that you can manage your life better, but processes fail, you get angry. Professional, you got a lot of things. Wife, you got a role. Social, you got a role. Also, maintain relationship with in-laws, friends, temple friends, co-workers, parents or children's friends.
Yeah.
That's very important.
Play dates, always more play dates.
And then you have all...
I have to get along.
So yeah, you got spiritual things also going on. Do you feel this is I think this is just like 50% or 40% of what we do. I wasn't able to capture everything.
This is what we do, but there's a lot more to what we want to do. I think this is all we are able to manage.
Yeah. But, okay. So then what adds further to the pressure? So what I'm trying to do here is that we have a lot of stuff going on. A lot of demands, a lot of directions we're getting pulled in, and a lot of things we're trying to do. And, you know, it's like multitasking, doing this, doing that, so many things, right? Now, apart from that, other things add up to the pressure. What else? Like, as she said, expectations that people have from us. That's one thing. Another thing is expectations that we have from ourselves. I know some people, like my friends, they have this expectation that they should be 100% in each of these tasks. Some people have that, right? My child should be perfect. Perfect shloka reciter, perfect this, perfect help, perfect, 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 right? Then my laundry and everything, the house should be perfect. My spiritual life, I should be the top. In this, 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 everything I should be like perfect. People have that pressure also. So it's not just the pressure other people are putting on you, it's also the pressure you have for yourself. What else? Complicates matters. Lack of cooperation from people you live with?
Yeah.
Yeah? You teach them, but they don't get it. Yeah, so then how it will look, comparing also, are being judged, comparing with other people, so that creates more pressure, it affects my efficiency in doing things. What else?
Worried about future,
thinking about the past. So I just made some list here. So we are overloaded. What other factors contribute to the stress? So there's a pressure to be 100% in everything. Comparison, self-induced guilt.
Communication.
Yeah, communication issues also. A lot of times.
Yeah.
That's major.
Yeah.
Not knowing how to communicate our needs. Or people not understanding us.
Yeah.
And then we're like, I explained this to you 20 times. Last 10, how many X number of years we've been married. Or we've been living together, or we've been roommates, whatever. I've been explaining this to you. Why don't you get it? And then that person, the more we say like this, the more that person doesn't want to get it.
Yeah.
Because they're like, what is she doing? Something's wrong with her. She keeps screaming all the time. All right. Lack of a support system complicates issues. Or no time to access the support system. Sometimes we have support system, we have friends, we have people. We don't have even time to think about calling them and getting their help, asking. We don't have time to ask for help also. Sometimes we're like that. Yeah. Happens a lack of cooperation from stakeholders. Children will be children. They're learning, they're growing up. So we can't expect them to cooperate. But say if you're living with some adults or if you hired a maid and then she doesn't show up when you're going to have guests in the next 3 hours. And you're like, oh, what do I do? A lack of cooperation from the husband. Husbands are trying. They're trying their best to whatever they can understand. But it just takes a long time to get the marriage finally in place where we understand each other. And the more we ask them, then they're like, but you never do this. All that. And then sometimes we have health issues happening that complicates life, that creates more stress. We have calamities, emergencies to deal with. Either that are happening with us or that are happening with our loved ones or that are happening with other friends or family that we have to help. But even taking care of other people can stress you out if you're not equipped with it. So I just made this list thinking about just to make you aware. You are aware, but not so self-aware. It's in your head, yeah, I'm doing a lot. But, you know, this list just helps you have some compassion for yourself, hopefully, that, hey, it is a lot going on. There's a lot happening on my plate. And even those diagrams that we saw earlier are showing how much a woman has to do. Like, she needs many hands and it's a lot of pressure, right? And then there are a lot of scientific studies which are on female role overload. So it's many roles that we're trying to fulfill, especially when we come out in the workforce also, and especially when we are lacking that social system. So it's a lot of roles, as we put down here. And within those roles also, there are so many different things that have to be done. So it can create an overload and it can create stress at the physical and the mental level. So do you know what does this do to you? So this is too much. And what does this do? Is this natural? Is this natural? I didn't see my mom handle so many things. She handled a lot of things, but within a particular zone. She didn't have like a role outside, a role inside, a role with here, a role over there, a role, 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 role. She didn't have like, you know, whatever she did it well. And then, and I felt sometimes they were able to do much more because of the way they just led their life. You know, some of the tips that I saw, and I see that she's more healthy than I am, more strong and fit than I am, and I see a lot of you nodding. Yeah, Andy would be doing a lot more than...
Yeah.
So, the way they dealt with it was very different. And sometimes it's important to go back into their lives and see what were they doing that is different from what I am doing. And each one of you, I'm sure, has a lot of things to learn. So, if this is not something that is natural, let's accept it. It is not natural. So, what does this do to you? All this pressure and all this so much stuff going on. What does this do to you? How does it impact you?
Cannot sleep at night.
So you cannot sleep at night. That's such a basic human need of wanting to sleep at night, and you can't sleep peacefully in spite of being in a wealthy nation and living in a beautiful house. But you can't get sleep in the night. You fall sick. What else?
Not satisfied with. We want to do lots of things.
With yourself. With your own self. In spite of you doing so much, you're not satisfied with yourself. And you still think, I'm capable of doing more. I can do much more. Yeah? What else? What else does it do to you? You can't be peaceful at all?
If something is going on in your mind, what do you do? Because you have like 100 things planned for the day. You have to think, okay, next day I have to do this, next day I have to do this. It's not idle. Mind is not idle. You're not able to enjoy the present moment.
You're not able to enjoy the present.
Yeah, you're not able to enjoy the present. And then stress,
depression.
Health.
Time pressure.
Stress, screaming on children, getting angry, small things.
I haven't really talked about spending enough time with children.
In spite that, of spending time with children.
That guilt I have.
So living with guilt.
Yes.
Living with that guilt, and then what does guilt do to you? Mind-body connection. It will eat you up inside. Yeah? So you all agree, I just made a list. So if you notice, the flowers were nice and bright and now they're all wilted. So you have hair loss, fibromyalgia, constant body aches, nobody can explain why they're happening to you. Poor digestion, that's a big one, that's the first thing that comes. And then because your digestion is poor, everything else gets affected and the doctor doesn't know what's going wrong with you. Yeah? Common stress-related stomach troubles including cramps, bloating, heartburn and even irritable bowel syndrome, weight loss, weight gain, skin reactions, sleep problems, concentration difficulty. Sometimes people find it hard to focus. Heart disease, lowered immune response, you keep falling sick again and again. One small thing, that wound hurts so bad, suddenly takes a very long time to heal. I've seen that also. And I've seen that from people like you and me. Like within this community that I know, low energy, difficulty swallowing. I saw somebody have that also, and then I found this online. Depression, anger, aggressiveness, low tolerance. You're low tolerance for things because you are in pressure and you got to do so many things. So then there's low tolerance to nonsense happening around you. You know, and then you wonder what happened to my good qualities. Yeah?
I was not like this before.
And then my husband made me like that. Are you? Yeah? All that happens, poor judgment. You don't have time to think properly. Racing thoughts, as you were mentioning. Forgetfulness, disorganization, procrastination, emotional problems, menstrual problems. I know somebody who started getting her period every 15 days. And it had nothing to do with anything going wrong inside or any cyst or any... what are the other things that you have that cause that? But none of those. It was just, the doctor couldn't explain it. Irritable colon, psychosomatic disorders. Sometimes you don't have anything wrong with your body, but you just keep feeling aches and pains. Also, that also, sometimes the aches and pains are real, sometimes they are not. All of this happens. And then you're wondering, what's going on with me? Why am I this depressed flower? What's going on? What happened to my health, you know? I'm doing everything right. You know, the biggest one is, we feel our lives are normal and we do not feel stressed. I was on the phone for a consultation with a doctor, because the doctor was my cousin and I didn't want to be on the phone. But it just so happened that before I could hand off the call and drop off from the call for my friend, like, my cousin started speaking to her. And he had seen her reports already, and I said, okay, you know, why don't you guys talk and I'm going to hang on. And before I could hang up, he already said, this is all stress related. And the lady said, no, but I'm not stressed. And then my cousin asked her, "But okay, what is your routine like?" And she says, I wake up at 4, and then I cook, and then I iron my children's clothes, and then I pack the tiffin, and then I go to work at 6. And then I do my work, and then I come back at 2 or 3 or whatever, and then I pick up my kids, and then I cook again, and then I feed the children, and then I take them out, and then I do the laundry, and I do this, and I do that. And then my cousin said, you're stressed. That's why you're having these issues. She's like, no, but this is how I've been living for the last 10 years. And my cousin's like, that's what I'm telling you. You're stressed. I said, like, no, but this is how I've been living. You're stressed. That's how it's showing up on your body. So this is another major issue where we think that because everyone is doing that around us, you know, that's how this country
we
is.
Fall into the routine.
Yeah, so we fall into the, that's very nicely said. So we just fall into the routine and we think this is normal, right? And then we wonder, why is this happening to me? I'm eating well. And this is my routine, and I've been following this routine, and, you know, I'm not doing anything wrong, and why am I, you know? So we do not understand, in spite of eating well, why all of these things are happening to us, and our loved ones fail to understand our mood swings, and they hold us accountable for them. And what do you say? Yeah, so we got to skip. Yes, we can't skip it. This is our life. But we can make choices.
Everybody's still doing that. Maybe are they
going to miss something in their life?
Yeah, because you're also...
So why this kid got into the gift? Why you're not sending the class? You're not sending to the class. Make them work out this or then get into the gifted program.
I don't want gifted program. No, but then when you hear it 2-3 times and your strength goes away, like, I'm okay, and then you're like, no, I'm not okay, something's wrong with me.
Yeah, so people around us also force us, why don't you make her right?
Yeah.
Put pressure on kids. Yeah.
I mean, it's not just once. You just come, but I've heard like 5-10 times people ask me, is your son in this? Is your son in this? After a while, I was like, even though the person is first time asking it, I mean, that person is first time asking it, since I've heard it, I might be like, rude to her. No, my son is not in that.
That's what
we said. No, and it creates, and then because you are all parents for the first time, then because it's the first time in your life, your parents, and every time your child is, suppose, 8 years old, your first time the parent of an 8 year old, and the child becomes 9 year old, and your first time the parent of a 9 year old, and your parent is child is a teen, and you're like, I'm first time the parent of a teen, so it's a new, it's not like you became parents and you're done, though. You're becoming first time, you're having first time experiences all the time, so it gets confusing.
Yeah, that part is that you were telling, handling the comments and remarks from others, how do you handle that? That's what, like.
We'll figure it out. So now we take care of, what do we take care of first? Spiritual, physical, or emotional? Emotional?
Okay.
No, in terms of the body, mind, and soul.
I think all three are important.
So all three are important?
Physical, interconnected. Yeah.
So they're all interconnected?
Yeah.
Okay. What does Krishna say about this?
Spiritual.
Yeah, but he is more compassionate. He understands we have needs at the physical level and at the emotional level also. So there's this nice verse in the Bhagavad Gita. He says, he who is regulated in his habits of eating, sleeping, recreation and work can mitigate all material claims by practicing the yoga system. So basically what he is telling is you balance and regulate the other two with a spiritual basis. So that spiritual foundation is very important. So once you have a strong spiritual foundation, then you're able to make the right choices regarding your all the roles you have to play and all the stuff that you have to do. So what is at the core of all these roles that you play? So we discussed so many roles.
Mind. No,
it's basically you have so many roles.
Yeah.
But it's all of these roles are sitting on some one major role at the bottom. Huh? Yeah, being, who are you? Okay, who are you? Your spirit soul, right? And who is that spirit soul? Part and parcel of Krishna. Servant of Krishna, right? So now that is the main role. So when you go to work, and they don't tell you what area you have to work in, then you're not clear, you're all over the place, right? Are you or are you not? At least I would be. I remember one time they took me on the project, and then for 1 week I'm sitting there figuring out what to do. And then only when I got the area I had to work in, I was like, okay, now I have some focus. I can do something.
You should know what.
So we have to know what is the main role. And then based on that, there has to be one focus. Right? It's like having that concave lens. Right? That's the concave lens.
Convex.
Okay, convex. Concave. Okay, you got it, right? This lens. So you have this lens. And then when the sun, so everything points, you know, we all did that experiment of solar cooker and burning the carbon paper and focusing all the sunlight in that one point. So you'll have all these different tasks and all these different roles. But they all need to focus at one particular goal in life. There has to be a goal, otherwise you'll be many branched. Yet what does Krishna say in 2nd chapter 41st verse? Vyavasayatmika buddhi eke ha kuru nandana bahu shakha yanantasya buddhayo vyavasayinam. So one who is not resolute in his determination, his intelligence is many branched. And then when your intelligence is many branched, you can't get anywhere. So you gotta have one, something you gotta set. Like, you know, you hear so many times, you gotta put the big rocks first and then the sand will find its way. Right? So we all gotta focus on that one role that we have, spirit, you know, so that is who I am, that's my identity. And on top of that, so many of these identities have been built. My roles and, you know, my social role, this role, that role, family things, right? So we have to understand who am I. And once we get that, then we test the appropriateness of every choice that we make based on how is it helping me satisfy that particular role. Now some of you may not have, you know, gone through the Discover Yourself classes and some of these courses that we offer to have come to that conclusion. So the point we're trying to make is you got to have a purpose in life, and then you got to connect everything that you're doing to that particular purpose. How is it helping me in that purpose, and how is it not helping me in that purpose? So basically, you got to have your own framework. This is me. This is my blueprint, and I operate out of this particular blueprint. This is my software, and I operate out of this software. This input gives this output. So, when we have that blueprint of ourselves very clear, then we don't get so affected. We learn how to deal with the stuff that the other people are saying. So then that guilt doesn't come in that I didn't do my job well, or I'm not doing well enough for my children. You understand? Does that connect? When you're clear about what you're doing, that I've made these choices right now for so and so reason, because this is based on this particular value system of mine, which is based on me being an eternal soul, part and parcel of Krishna. And for some of you who are not able to connect to that right now, because, you know, we haven't gone through the Discover Yourself course, at least you have a certain value system based on which you have made certain choices in life, right? So then you're not confused when other people tell you a lot of stuff. At least you're able to handle it better, because even if they hit you with that, like, oh, you're not doing this, and then you feel like a guilty mom, and then you come back home, and then you're like, no, but hey, wait a minute, this was my value system. This is why I made this choice. So you're able to connect to that. So it helps us calibrate our priorities, how we divide our time, and what we want to achieve while taking care of our physical and emotional health. You understand? So when you have a goal, and you're sure about that goal, then you want to achieve that goal. So then you organize everything around that. So then you prioritize. Like, I know somebody who wants their child or whatever, you know. So you won't try to be 100% in everything. Right? Right now we're like juggling everything and nothing should fall. But when, you know, then when you're clear about, okay, this is my priority, this is what I want, then you're okay, if something falls off, you're like, fine, you know, this is, if it fell, it's okay. You're not, okay, fine, this one fell, I'm fine with it. But we have to be, like, this is important. And another thing, what we've seen is when we focus on the main thing, like the essence of who you are, then automatically it organizes your other stuff in life. So, I have these handouts, I thought y'all could take your time to fill it up. We had done this about 4 years ago in the library. So at that time we made this questionnaire. You can distribute it. Sometime you can take to fill it up. And then maybe we can divide ourselves into groups of, how many people do we have? Did everyone get a handout? I had 20. Maybe Dhanashri will be behind. So we can divide ourselves in 4 or 5 based on who you're sitting close to. So you fill this up right now, or at least go. Does everyone have it? So we have it divided here with physical health, emotional health, and spiritual health. This is not something, I mean, this is something that's just going to help you think, and it, as we discussed, we don't even have the time to pause and think and, you know, define things for ourselves. So this just gives you time to think about certain things, which you all know. I'm not teaching anything new here. Just, you know, something that you want to take your time to think and reset your priorities, reset your life. So what I want is, you get out in groups of 4 or 5 to whoever you're sitting close to. You first take time to pull this about. You probably need about 5 to 7 minutes to pull this up.
Clipboard.
Yeah? So you need about five minutes to fill this up. Pencil or a pen?
I don't have.
And then I'd like you to discuss in groups about 5 minutes each you can spend on physical, 5 on emotional, and 5 on spiritual, and then each group can share what you'll have come up with. I have one pencil if someone wants it. Okay, whoever has taken school property, please put it back from where you've taken it. I don't want them to stop me from coming here. Yeah, you first fill it independently.
Okay.
And like first fill the entire thing independently, physical, emotional, and spiritual. And then the last or the second last question in each one of them is about discuss.
Oh,
so you discuss that once you just finish everything, and then the discuss all 4 questions, 5 questions of each one are together.